Let's Walk the Talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
So if you want to get in touch with us, this is the number 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp number is 072-702-1702. If you've got any problems with your car, if you've experienced any problems with your car, we've got our car guru on the line, Kumbi Mchikazi. A very good morning to you.
The listener.
Have you had a good weekend? Have you managed to get some time off?
I have. It's been a very relaxed, obviously, family weekend. And yeah, no, not really much traveling or anything, but I think it's just been a really relaxing weekend.
Did you go the chocolate route?
Not quite. Not a lot of chocolate eaten this weekend, thank God.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been looking at what's been happening on the roads. The producer and I were talking about it. I mean, quite horrific what we've been seeing, that awful bus crash in Limpopo, the fact that there have been, you know, more than a million cars on the roads. There's horrific backups all the way to Limpopo as well. Tell us what you've been hearing in your world about cars and what's been going on.
Yeah, I think obviously whenever it's such a busy, busy long weekend, etc., I think a lot of people tend to obviously travel a lot, and that we notice this every time. I mean, 2022, it goes back in time really, where people travel from Joburg and they go back to obviously to their families in either Limpopo or whatever provinces it is. And also during such an Easter weekend, it's obviously also a religious weekend where people travel to churches, etc. I mean, we notice a lot of people going to Moria, you know, so that is what we notice a lot on the roads. We saw that this weekend as well, quite a lot of accidents happening, especially on the Friday, the Thursday, where people were just traveling. And I think it's mostly people getting impatient, not, you know, obeying the rules of the road. It's always that excitement, you know, when people travel a lot, and that excitement causes quite a lot of unfortunate accidents on the roads. So I think this weekend it's been quite hectic, but I think it's much better than it was in 2022.
I mean, apparently the advanced driving school Master Drive said that more than 3,000 cars an hour pass through toll gates during these periods. That's a lot of traffic, a lot of car, a lot of usage of the car. What should you look out for in your car before you head out there?
So I think it's always important, extremely important, you know, before you head out, make sure you've got all your spare wheels, make sure your car is roadworthy. You've got, you know, you take your car, I always suggest a pre-service check, you know, taking your car to a dealer and saying, listen, guys, I'm going on a long trip. Can you please just make sure that my car is fine? So, you know, they check everything for you, from your components, everything in the car, to your tires, and then they advise on what you should do. So I think I always, you know, suggest people do that. But, you know, if you can't really afford that, then, you know, I think our guardian angels at these fuel stations can always help. You know, taking your car there and the fuel petrol attendants can easily just check your car for you. So I think people always forget to do that at times, where, you know, they just get back home from work, load up everything, and decide to drive without really checking, listen to the necessary equipment should something go wrong. So I think it's very advisable for people to always do a pre-trip inspection. Is extremely vital. And I think these are things that we should be doing every day, actually, before we get into our cars and start driving. But I mean, I think the way we get so busy, we always just forget. But I think on such a long haul trip, people need to make sure that they do pre-trip inspections.
I mean, I had to replace two of my front wheels before I went away a couple of weekends ago. And I was chastised for not doing a certain tests that one should do, apparently, and the name of it escapes me. But I mean, how many tests should you do a year, or is one a year enough? And how deep should that test be? How intricate?
Sure. So I think I wouldn't say really just once a year, and it's also dependent on how many kilometers you're doing in a month. I mean, kilometers you're doing overall. So if you're traveling quite extensively and you're doing more mileage, remember, you're using your car more, your wear and tear is becoming more, obviously, and I think you need to do that as you know, a lot, essentially. So I think people just forget to do it a lot, but we need to make sure that gets done. You can't just do it really once a year. I wouldn't advise on that, because you're traveling a lot. And I mean, we have people who travel from, you know, Johannesburg and take a drive to Cape Town and back. So that's over 1,500 kilometers you put onto your car. So you need to make sure you check your car, you get to where you're going, have a look at your car, and that's it. And it's not, you know, such hectic checks, but I think if you're always going according to people servicing your car, etc., you know, during those service periods, then you should be fine, essentially. But you just need to do a pre-trip inspection. It's vitally important. And I think right now as well, people who've got fancy cars, and cars tell us everything essentially now through our digital clusters, where should your tire not have the same tire pressure, it'll tell you, listen, what your rear left tire is not the correct tire pressure. Should you not have enough oil, enough water, etc.? So these are things that you just need to look at. You know, people forget also to check your wiper blades, you know, because we're like, oh no, it's not rainy season yet. But because we're traveling through various provinces, and you know, the weather changes so much. You travel through Johannesburg and you're going to Cape Town, and you know, Bloemfontein, it starts to rain, but you haven't checked your wiper blades, and now you're already causing yourself a hazard because you can't see anymore. So I think these trips are, these checks are very important and very, you know, vital, essentially, to make sure that you are, you know, more careful on the road.
Mm. And other listening to us here on the radio, and we pass on traffic news and what we hear from our listeners when they get in touch with us. You know, how can you find out the status of the roads or if there's a problem? Is there a reliable place to go to where you can get the sort of information that you should require?
So I think it's quite simple, and everybody these days really has, you know, radios in their car. And I always, you know, suggest, you know, just having some news bulletins on top of the hour or every 30 minutes. So should you be playing music in your car using your connected devices? I think I would suggest every 30 minutes or so, just get onto the radio, hear on the traffic news exactly what is going on, because I think those are the most accurate reports ever. Because you can't really check on your phone in terms of, you know, trying to check any traffic reports on your phone because you're driving. Mm-hmm. So I think your radio is the best bet to go. And I think, you know, at every 7:30 or 8:30 or top of the hour, or, you know, 30 minute interval, I think that's the best way to check how the roads are doing, because there's always, especially like as we come now through just the Easter weekend, I think they're making sure that we keep updated on the roads. So I think radio is your best bet in this stage.
And what should we be planning as far as fuel consumption is concerned? I mean, when you stop and start and get stuck in traffic, you can really plow through the fuel, can't you?
Correct. So I think it's, and you know, it's quite important, you know, just ensure that you're keeping a consistent kilometer per hour that you're doing, and I think that should make it easier. As much as, you know, I would suggest that, you know, don't have a lot of load in the car, but I mean, you're coming on a road trip. You're going on a road trip, it's quite difficult. You've got a full house in the car, but I think just ensure that you're keeping it consistent. Don't, you know, don't just jump onto the accelerator, you know, gradually ease your car into how you're driving, etc. You know, don't skip gears, you know, always ensure that you are driving efficiently, you know, don't have the windows open, have the aircon on so that you don't have drag going on in the car. So those are just things that I would suggest so that, you know, you can save somewhat money in terms of fuel consumption.
Okay, let's bring in Mark from Pretoria. He's on the line and he's got a question about his Toyota Corolla. Very good morning to you, Mark.
Morning, how are you?
Fine, and you?
Morning to the gentleman. I'm having an issue with my vehicle. Apparently, the alternator is charging, but the batteries are both running flat. Both are old batteries and they're quite old. So I don't know if it's the battery or is it some other issue. Can you please help?
Kumbi?
Sorry?
I'm just waiting for Kumbi to respond to that.
Thank you.
All right. He has, we've just lost him for a moment, but I'm sure he shall get back to you as soon as we get him back up again. Mark, so we're going to let you go there, but I will pose your question again to Kumbi in case he missed it. So we're talking about cars, and as I was saying a little bit earlier on, it's been particularly heavy this Easter, though Combi has told us. It was a lot more traffic. There was a lot more traffic on the roads last Easter. We've seen many accidents. One really stands out, that horrific bus crash in Limpopo with residents from Botswana. I think it was 45 or 46 people died, and only one survivor. We're going to be talking about that in the next hour, by the way. We've got a news update then. Kumbi, we've got you back online. Were you able to hear the question about batteries?
Unfortunately not. I was unfortunately cut. I did not hear the question, unfortunately. If you may please just repeat that for me.
Okay, well, we had a caller talking about his Toyota Corolla and the issue that he's having with his batteries, and that the fact that they don't last as long as they should.
So I think that should be something that he definitely goes to a Toyota dealership to check exactly what is going on. It's either the size in the battery he's currently using is not as big as as that he is supposed to be using. However, I think you should just take it to a dealership. I always say, whenever you have any issues, it's vitally important to, just go to the dealership. The technicians know exactly what they're doing, because sometimes we assume that we know the size of the batteries that our car is using. And in hindsight, that's usually not the case. I usually also had a problem with my Polo GTI where, I always used to buy a smaller battery as opposed to the bigger battery that I'm meant to buy, because I didn't know this. I just thought, it's just any normal battery that I'm supposed to use. But our car uses so many electrical components in the car. They run so many things, and the battery is essentially one of the most important element in the car. So I think you should just take it to a Toyota dealership. They should suggest the type of the size battery that you should use, and I think you shouldn't have any issues going further.
And it's pretty stressful, because I experienced it this morning, is the battery in your key. So my car alarm started going off, and then the side mirrors wouldn't open. I had to get out of the car and move them. and then you realize that you kind of lost. I mean, how do you open that car?
You're always
going to keep one as spare battery on your body, right?
That's correct. Essentially, yeah. But I think these are things that we sometimes always, don't really look at. But I think it's always a learning curve whenever we do find out that you need to always have some sort of battery, or you need to have some sort of extra keys with you. Should anything go wrong, really.
Be prepared, like the brownies,
that's
right?
Correct.
Tell
that's
us about
correct.
The GWM Tank 300.
So we first had a look at the GWM Tank 300 in Australia about 2 years ago, and I think we were immediately impressed at the car. And obviously coming in a leather frame chassis, SUV, bucky-based SUV type. And we notice, obviously, in South Africa, a lot of South Africans love their bucky-based SUVs. And, as we've got the Ford Everest and we've got the Toyota Fortuner in that space, which are currently dominating that space. So when GWM decided to bring this to us officially this year, we were quite interested in terms of how pricing would be. And obviously the Chinese are always undercutting a lot of vital players in the industry with a lot of, bang for your buck type of offering. So the GWM Tank, obviously looking a lot like the Jeep Wrangler, a lot of styling cues has been taken from that Jeep Wrangler, that Ford Bronco, the interior looking like a little some Mercedes-Benz aesthetic that are in there. But it's such a great product. I've been spending the past 5 days now with it, and I'm just impressed. It's a hybrid engine, a 2-liter turbocharged petrol engine. It's got enough power. I think it's a proper buggy-based SUV, and it should be interesting how people react to this. I know a lot of people, whenever I've been driving during the past 5 days, everybody's just really interested in terms of what is this, and because they haven't seen a lot of them. But I do think that it's going to do well. For me, though, personally, for a hybrid electric vehicle, I expected a much less, fuel consumption. They claim 8.4 liters per 100, but I've been doing nothing less than 13 liters per 100. And I think that, for me, is quite thirsty, especially for hybrid vehicles. They make excellent, hybrid vehicles. I mean, when you look at the Jolyon HEV, the other hybrid vehicle, it does create fuel consumption figures. So I'm just a bit, you know, worried in terms of what's going on here. But yeah, overall, it's a great car. Great visibility, actually, from outside the car. And it's got that, you know, obviously SUV feel. And it does SUV great as well, you know. So it should be, it should be interesting. However, because obviously, because of that block-like drag coefficient, you know, this is why I think the fuel consumption is high. I do wonder, though, should they not have brought in a 2-liter turbo diesel that's found in their P series? Because that petrol engine, especially for this type of car, for me, does not work. Considering that most of the players in the in that segment are all, you know, turbo diesels, so it's quite interesting. Yeah,
certainly not a sexy name, is it? GWM Tank.
GWM Tank. That's correct. No, I think, you know, and it's exactly that. Trying to make it a tank and, you know, to tackle anything really. But yeah, it is an interesting vehicle. It does look there. The headlights, we'll know exactly where they come from in terms of the, you know, the Ford Bronco type of look. And you've got that grill that looks essentially almost like a, you know, like a Jeep. But I mean, you know, nothing we don't know really anymore. You know, a lot of the Chinese brands, those who are copying, you know, someone's homework and just, you know, sometimes doing it better. But it is quite interesting. It's got a lot of, you know, off-road capabilities that are immense, especially for a vehicle of this size.
But I mean, you highlight something which is a bit concerning, isn't it? I mean, it's false advertising, isn't it? When they say that it has a certain amount of fuel consumption, and you have proved that it's just the opposite. I mean, I you know, somebody like me wouldn't know.
Yeah,
until it's too late.
Yeah, no, that's very true. So obviously, all they perform their tests in obviously the most perfect environments, and they don't really encounter real world environments when they do their fuel consumption tests. And luckily, that's where we come in as the motoring journalists to come and test that theory. But I think for me personally, claim 8.4, and it's far off the claimed currently. But I think, like I said, it's obviously that drag, that body that's not so drag coefficient, and also the fact that it's a petrol. But I would expect it to just do well. I expected the same fuel figures that its sibling, the Jolyon HEV, does, which is, you know, also less than sometimes 6 or so. But this was quite interesting for me, especially because it's got a battery, a little battery, which is like a 37.7 kilowatt hour battery that helps, obviously, in terms of starting it and driving in low town distances, etc., which also self generates. So it's been a different experience to what a hybrid electrical vehicle that I've experienced. But I mean, also it's a 4x4, so we need to be quite accepting at the fact that it will be heavy with all those divs, etc.
And heavy on the purse, the wallet.
So on the wallet, essentially, the model starts at 725,000 rand. And this is for the luxury and, you know, a 4x4. And right now we don't get that many 4x4s at that price with the level of tech and, you know, equipment and amenities that are in this car. So it is obviously undercutting. The Range Topping model that I'm driving comes in at 851,000 rand. So I'm not, you know, mad at it. When you look at the competitors, you know, the Toyota Fortuna or Isuzu MU-X, you know, the Ford Everest, those are going essentially up higher in the likes of, you know, almost a million rand. So, I mean, it's a 200,000 rand saving if you're going, you know, the top of the range, Isuzu MU-X or the top of the range, Ford Everest, where that comes in almost at 1.1 million, whereas this is coming now at the top of the range, coming in at 851,000 rand.
Mm. You know, I was just thinking as you're talking, it's amazing how many cars come into this country. I mean, you know, is there a car month where we see a flurry of cars coming in, or is it staggered over the year? Or, and I mean, how many new cars on average do we get to see?
Yeah, so geez, that's a great question, actually. So we're getting quite a lot of cars that are coming in, and I think the Chinese is taking over that space hectically now, where we see almost a new Chinese car every month. I mean, we just had a new Baki now recently in the month of March, called LDV, which is also coming in to compete in that segment. But there are so many cars from the Chinese segments that are coming in. And I think they found a gap essentially in terms of, you know, we can undercut a lot of these German brands, a lot of these Japanese brands by pricing and, you know, with the value for money. So there are quite a lot of cars that are coming in each and every month. In a month of, you know, in a space of a quarter, you almost get, you know, four brands or five brands coming in, and also so many other brands also taking out cars. I mean, in the month of April alone, we've got the Beijing Auto Show that we're going to later on in April. You know, we've got so many other car launches that are happening in the month of April alone. You know, almost five or six launches. That just shows you those are six different cars that are coming into the market. So the auto industry does not seem to be letting loose its noose on anything, really. There's a lot of cars that are coming in, and that they clearly see that there is people are wanting to buy cars, it looks like.
And those Chinese cars, I mean, there's one in particular that offends every part of me, and it is so popular on the road. Obviously, I'm not going to mention that name, but I mean, people are liking the Chinese cars, and for good reason. I mean, they're more affordable, they're good quality, other than this one.
Yes. So a lot of people are trusting the Chinese. I think the Chinese has built, you know, their rep now in terms of we bring in affordable cars, but without skimping out on any option, really. Because, I mean, the Germans, you know, the Japanese used to come in and say, listen, you'll get this car at a base price of X, Y, Z, but you need to still spec out, you know, you need to add in your Bluetooth radio, your Apple infotainment, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas the Chinese come in and say, listen, this is your car, and we'll give you as is for, you know, half the price that you'll get in a German rival. So it is interesting, but I just always ask myself, I mean, we saw this when Kia started into the market, and, you know, they brought in affordable vehicles, obviously, with a lot of value. But right now, they are quite expensive because they've established themselves, obviously, as a huge key player into the market. But now, I'm just wondering, when are these Chinese vehicles? I mean, there should be a turning point, obviously, where they say, listen, are we really making profits in terms of the vehicles that we're bringing into South Africa? Because the pricing for me is... it undercuts a lot of brands, and obviously giving headaches to a lot of people. And I do understand that they want to, you know, establish that market, but one can only wonder how long that will go on for.
Let's leave on that question, Kumbi. I'm going to let you go, and well done for not overindulging on the chocolate.
Thanks for having me, Jane.